When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Greetings, conversationalists from across New Eden. You are watching The Meta Show. Today is Saturday, as always, February the 20th. I am Brisk Rubal, your host. I am joined alongside the Space Emperor of the Ages and New Eden's most famous fish enthusiast, the Matani. And his dog, in case you hear it.
Oh my, it's an unearned credit because I am still a novice fish enthusiast, but it's good to be here. I think we have a wild show today. I'm really kind of delighted to finally put a spotlight on people that have been very busy during times when we have been doing our meta shows. As guests today, I'm delighted to announce that we have Darkshines and Keisha from the Initiative and from Bastion. And one of the main focuses of today's show will be going over, like last week, we went through with a fine-tooth comb all of the evidence and hard facts that our enemies in PASP are desperately trying to avoid. We are similarly going to be hammering on evidence and facts of the kind of things that PASP is desperate to avoid by just showing what is happening in the Legacy backfield. That our Imperium friends have been kicking ass and taking names on. We also have a corporate veil segment. Brisk, why don't we, before we get to me herfing any blurfs, maybe they'll try to do an M2 hit in the middle of my opening segment. It didn't really work out too well for them during the fireside a little bit ago, but hope springs eternal. Brisk, why don't you just take us through where we're going today, and then let me know when you want me to start running my mouth.
All right, so I've got a soapbox, then Mittens has a little bit of a soapbox, then we're going to bring Keisha and Darkshines on. We're going to talk about what's happening in the rest of New Eden. We're going to talk about what the Initiative has been doing in Ketch. We're going to talk about what Bastion's been doing in Esoteria. We're going to talk about what's, and they're not part of the Imperium, but anybody that's against our enemies is our friend right now. We're going to talk about what Snuffed is trying to do in Ignoiton, and we're going to move on. We're going to shift over. We have three separate Piercing the Corporate Veil segments today. Unfortunately, we may not get to all of them, but the first one will be talking about some major meta changes with the fleet formations. We finally got a preview of what that's going to look like. Having Darkshines and Keisha here with us, two preeminent Imperium FCs, is going to be helpful. We're going to go over those changes with you. We also have some exciting changes to the hack meta that were announced today. And unfortunately, we don't have a dev blog yet or an official post from CCP, so we've had to piece this together. So hopefully we'll be able to get some information to you guys that you may not have heard yet. Third, we have Pearl Abyss, fourth quarter 2020 investor call, which was held last week. And we have some information about how EVE is doing. And finally, we have the January MER. I don't think we're going to get to those last segments. It depends on how much herfing and blurfing we do and how much we talk with our colleagues here. But we've got an action-packed show for you. So let's go ahead and get started. And I will hop on my soapbox for a moment.
All right, let's do it.
One of the things that we, as the hosts of the Meta Show, are often accused of is spinning. Guilty as charged. That is what we do here. One of the things we do on this show is we spin. And what is spin? Spin is taking a fact and presenting it in the most favorable light to your side. There is nothing wrong with this. What do we not do on the Meta Show? We don't lie to you. We don't make up things out of whole cloth. And we don't say things that either we do not believe are true or that we try to say in order to deceive you. Now, there are many folks in the chat, there are many folks watching right now who will laugh that I just said that, but I want to be clear, that is 100% true. We don't lie to you. We do not need to lie to you because the facts generally are favorable to us, and when they're not, we can at least explain the silver lining around those facts and present that in the way that'll be interesting and keep you guys watching. So I want to make it clear, if you're watching the Meta Show to see how the Imperium is going to lie to you this week, you're watching the wrong show. We don't do that here. We're going to present facts, we're going to be funny, we're going to make jokes, we're going to entertain, we're going to hopefully leave you a little bit more educated than you were before, and if you're in the Imperium, we're hopefully going to leave you with your morale improved. That's the goal of the show. The goal of the show is not to run anybody down, It's not to engage in toxic narrative making. It's certainly not to provide a boost to the ego of the two co-hosts whose egos can't get any larger, let's be honest. We are here to have fun. We are here to have a good show, and that's why we're here. And I hope that that's why you're here. So I'm off my soapbox now. We're going to get going on the show here. I hope that you enjoy what we have presented for you, and I hope you enjoy the guests. And hopefully you'll keep coming back here like you do every week for the most watched, longest running talk show in EVE history. Mittens, I'm off my soapbox. I'm ready for you.
All right. So bad cop time, you know. Oh, man. I'm not going to go too long today. There's a bunch of shit to go over here. But I really like the reaction I saw last week, where I came no spin, no costume, no wrestling heel gimmick, any of that shit. And we just went through slide by slide a whole bunch of very unpleasant facts that Legacy wants people to not see. And I can kind of tell from the reaction that I get in chat how much blood we're drawing at any given time. Like when people start screeching and going after my real life or whatever, I feel satisfied because I know that it's hitting, right? So it occurred to me that I want to do a little bit more of that, but instead of doing like a PowerPoint presentation, I just want to show you guys, and Brisk is going to help me with this, show two images, and we'll start with just the first, which is something that I wish I had seen a long time ago. Somebody went through and posted this on Reddit, posted a coalition map of what the galaxy actually looks like under PASPI. Could you bring that up for us, Brisk, please? Yep. All right, so what do we have here? And here is where I get to talk mad shit. Everything that our enemies accuse us of is always projection. For years, these people have come to you, have attacked you, have slandered everything that we in the Imperium and our allies have done, accusing us of attempting to build a blue donut. And it really rams home to you the hypocrisy, the stupidity, and the projection, the lies, demonstrable lies, because again, we might spin stuff, but when those Brave leaks happened, you could read the receipts for themselves. When you see the internals from Legacy come out, you can see the facts for yourselves. When you see the slopes, you can see the slopes for yourselves. They might try to lie to cover it up. But this is what 103 alliances bluing each other looks like. These people have accused us of wanting to form Serenity. Except, oh wait, the two biggest groups that come from Serenity, that being Army of Mingos and Fraternity, are of course part of this massive blue donut. And they should never be allowed to forget it, because here is what happens when you are fighting the entire galaxy. When you are fighting the entire galaxy, you have an opportunity to win against the entire galaxy. And currently the Imperium is doing fantastic. And now we're in an awkward position here, because if we do win, if we do defeat the entire assembled forces of the whole goddamn galaxy, it makes you wonder. And what I started thinking, Bruce, could you put up the pie chart of shame here for a moment, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Here's some more evidence that our enemies of this massive blue donut are desperate to hide from you. Because it proves their hypocrisy. It proves what they are building is an attempt to bring all of New Eden under the auspices of landlords and renters. They want to turn the entire game into renters such that they can do exactly what has happened on Serenity. Look at their actions, not at their words. Look at the actions and the evidence of what they have done. And that is the future that they are working so hard to create. So, I'm going to go ahead and take that down now. I think what is interesting to me, looking at the balance of forces, looking at the situation, and looking at the strategic aftermath of PASPI losing their momentum this week because they got stopped hard in their attempt to go after 1DQ1 again, is that if we did beat all of these people, I wouldn't want to rule this galaxy. I wouldn't want to defeat the entire galaxy's forces and then be an emperor or the guy or any of that stuff, because everything that I have seen from this galaxy is renting landlords, lords, lies, being shitty to their line members, And botting, lots of botting, pie chart of shame. I wouldn't want to rule this galaxy. If anything, the Imperium has become, and the evidence is there, that we and our allies, who are not necessarily members of the Imperium, but the Imperium and their allies, are the last free people in this game. The last free people in this game that are not beholden to a bunch of pubby landlord fucks that want to set up a Serenity while accusing us of wanting to do it. We want nothing to do with that. If you are part of PASPI, you are part of the Blue Donut. You accuse us of doing the things that you are guilty of, that you have been proven repeatedly to be guilty of. The Imperium and our allies are the last free peoples in this game. We stand against landlords. We stand against botting. We will not ever attempt to rule this galaxy. I never want to be the emperor of this fucking galaxy. I want to be the anti-emperor, because fuck you. That's why. That's it. I'm done.
That is a quality soapbox right there, ladies and gentlemen. I think you guys got all of your money's worth from this show in the first 10 minutes. But we don't want to do that because we got a ton more show and we got a lot of guests.
We got lots of stuff to go over. Lots of stuff to go over.
We got stuff to do. We're going to bring on our guests here. We're going to go to our top story, and that is the backfield is burning. I would like to thank and introduce Keisha from the Bastion and Delta Squad and Dark Shines, the lead FC of the initiative. Both of these gentlemen have been on the show before. They were on about a month ago and gave us a little bit at the beginning of this fight. And I want to talk to them today about what has been happening across the backfield of New Eden, because these are the two gentlemen who are part of the coordinated campaign of irregular forces that the Imperium is using to put pressure on all of the legacy alliances that are close by, to make it tougher for them to bring numbers to Delve and to put pressure on their line members to make it clear they're not going to be able to keep doing things the way that they have been doing. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Shines, I want to throw it to you first, and just could you give a little rundown on what Initiative has been doing up in Ketch and Curse and how things have been going for us?
Not a whole lot has changed in terms of what Init's been doing since the last time I was on. We're still staged in Oshit, which is on the border of Catch. We've dropped Fortizars and further staging structures into Catch, and we are still working with the groups that are around Catch, like Tickle, and not working with, but you know, joint interests in killing everybody else in Catch. So That's basically it. We're still pushing on Brave, basically.
In addition to the pushing on Brave, let me find out from you. We've seen Brave, we've seen all the leaks from Brave. We've seen a lot of chatter about Brave. Are you seeing a downtick in their activity? Are you seeing anything in the backfield that it makes you think that that the leaks had any kind of damage on their morale? What do you think is happening in that regard?
It's kind of hard to say because there was some other stuff happening as well at the same time as the leaks came out. Like we've been cloaky camping the majority of their ratting space. You know, even more so when we found out how badly their finances appear to be doing. And overall, from what we could see, morale wasn't fantastic. I don't think it was bad, like really, really bad, but it wasn't great either. So that was kind of cool. The numbers I think went down at their fleet numbers appeared to go down, but they seem to be bouncing back a little bit.
Can you tell a little bit about the fight that we had over the Asbel and over the three Sinojammers and GE Tech? I think that's an interesting aspect, and I think the one thing I wanted to highlight, at least in that fight, was it looked like our numbers were pretty similar to Brave's, and they are 2.5 times our size. I thought that was interesting. But go ahead.
Yeah. So there was the fight yesterday. Basically, we had dropped an Asbel last week in GE to see could we get it online and have a structure in their staging. excuse me, or worst case, it would pull numbers from Delve on a Friday evening in EU time zone, which is, you know, if we're pulling people away from Delve for 2.7 billion, that's definitely worth it. But basically, we had seen before when we had hacked, when Pando had hacked the iHub in GE, that their go-to tactic is jam the constellation, camp the ingate, and you know, prevent any hostiles from getting in, which is the smart play. So what we done was, I had just gotten home from work. I got two pings at the same time to say they had dropped jammers in GE. GE local was at about 150, which is about standard for them. It means there's no fleets on standby, basically. So we rage formed initiative and some FXR in OSHIT. And we managed to bridge in and get set up on the first jammer. Around that time, they started to rage form. We kept rage forming, and it just escalated in numbers from there to the point where it had about 150 subs, I think, by the end, plus caps. And then hostiles had, I think it was upwards of about 400 people. They had a full Munim fleet and about 100-man tackle fleet. We killed all the jammers. We lost the Dread and about 60 Munims doing it, I think. But we got a solid fight, so everyone was happy.
Now, my understanding, and I'm not sure whether, excuse me, because I had an off day yesterday, as in I was off yesterday.
You took a vacation.
Yes,
to
I did.
To Cancun.
Actually,
and I didn't in the middle of a storm, so it's okay.
Oh, my God. Jokes aside, I also saw that the PTAC-Z iHub, which is where Brave is, of course, attempting to move into Quirius, while totally not trying to move into Quirius, while you can invade the Imperium's home territory, but nobody will have to make any hard decisions or any hard choices, and you can keep all of your special regions, which totally aren't going to get abandoned just like that test Satio did.
We're going to get to in a minute.
We are going to get to that in a bit. but I believe that Anit also had a huge part in nuking the iHub in PTAC-Z, which is where Brave's attempt to stage into Quirius was, and that got taken out yesterday. Is that, I mean, Dark Shines, have you guys been bouncing back and forth between like the impasse area, the GE TAC area, and then into to Quirius? Like, I'm just trying to get kind of like a lay of the land of the last few days of action.
We kind of, the way we're working at the moment is wherever we will cause the most damage or the most frustration is where we want to be. So on Thursday, for example, we had a Fortizar anchoring in EX6. Again, they called all of Voltron, the rest of Legacy, and their new pets, Wrecking Crew from Provi, into EX6 to fight our fleets there. And at the same time, Bastion managed to kill a 400 billionisk Sotio in Esoteria because these guys are more interested in killing a fucking onlining Fortizar in catch than they are in defending their stuff. In GE, we went to we hit the jammers with the intent of going for the Asbel, but we had also seen that once again the Provi pets and the fire pets had been called in again, so there was just way too many people for us to even consider taking a fight over the Asbel. So we let the Asbel go. 2.7 billion, not a big deal. It would have been nice to get online, but you know, whatever, shit happens. And then we burned instead down to Quirius, where we linked up with Havish and his guys, and Apple Pear and his guys, and we managed to, and the rest of the Quirius locals, we managed to, the guy's done a good job hacking the nodes. We held the grid long enough for the nodes to finish. At this stage, hostiles had formed not only all of Legacy and Fire, but as well as that, the rest of Pappy from Delve had all been dragged to Quirius to try and save this iHub. I think between us, we had around 300 people in the fleets. Like Imperium,
It was like 350 versus 700, north of 700 from the Bads. It was like a full on 2-1 and they still lost. It was amazing.
So again, we did take losses, but you know, the IHOP died, and to have your, it's just fucking bizarre. Like to have your staging, the staging you have moved into, to have that IHOP die a week after you've moved into it, while chess beating that you've killed,
along with all their
spell.
Fucking IHOPs.
But they put
too.
It right back up, right?
I mean, the whole but, if you believe Shattered Armor is bullshit, like you got problems. Like just straight up, like if you believe Shattered Armor, if you think Shattered Armor, who is like the brave genius guy who is invading Quarius for like the third or fourth time or whatever, like if you have decided that that guy is a smarty, you deserve everything that's coming to you, right? Like you've made your fucking bed and you get to lie in it, because goddamn. I actually had a question here. You mentioned the Wrecking Crew thing. Now, what's interesting about this is what I wanted to ask is, do you like, what's up with that? Wrecking Crew wasn't really involved in this. Is Wrecking Crew now suddenly supporting PanFam because Snuff is attacking low-sec keep stars and Wrecking Crew has one? What's going on with that? Do you have any idea?
I have suspicions, but they're only educated guesses. We've seen what happened when Initiative and Snuff teamed up to kill the low-sec keep star last time, the Kamal keep star, where Vili basically bent over for Wrecking Crew. And the Keepstar got saved. And I suspect it's probably something along those lines again.
Okay.
Now that Snuff have, you know, looked to be hitting Keepstars.
So. Can you guys remind me, maybe I'm misremembering, but who destroyed Pravi Block again? Do you guys remember who that was? Was that not Test and PanFam working together to steal all of Faction Fortizars and Pravi right before the change? The same guys that have gone through Pravi and used it as a plaything and batted it around between each other, and they're all on the same team now? That kind of strikes me as a little odd.
Blue donut.
Right?
It's at the end of the day, like, it's just, if you strip away all of the fucking words, you get rid of all the words, all the excuses, all the accusations, and you just look at the evidence, all you really need is that fucking pie chart of shame and the coalition map that shows all of PSP's friends that they have glued together, and then everything else is just excuses and rationalizations at the end of the day. So I don't know, maybe Wrecking Crew turns out that they are whatever. I don't know. I was surprised by this because I thought that they had worked with Init in the past, and now suddenly they are doing whatever the fuck that they're doing now, because whatever. I guess we get to find out who has a leash that is held by PanFam, who has a leash that is held by Villian Shattered Armor. I mean, yikes. And you gotta be
my favorite Shattered Armor joke, and I think this was someone in it, and I wish I could remember who it was that said it, so I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, but they said Shattered Armor is the poor man's Pro-God. That's who he is. That's really,
he wants to be Pro-God. It sounds like he's actually imitating it, in that the leak of the Brave Soda, it genuinely sounded so. At first people were making jokes about how Shattered sounded like he was Pro-God's brother, and then I listened to it, and then, you know, I think it's more sinister than that. I think that he wants to be Pro-God so much that he is imitating his speech patterns and things like that. I can't imagine what sort of a human being like looks up to Pro-God and wants to imitate that. But some people are easily conned by people who say that, you know, are, you can always fool some people all the time, right? You can definitely convince a whole bunch of people that you're a Pro-God legend and you know what you're doing and that you've really got this thing under control, and you are going to be able to con a gaggle of idiots to follow you. But yikes.
Nature of the beast.
To give you an idea of you were talking there about, you know, we're never going to lie. We might put a positive spin on some things, but we'll never outright lie to our people. And, you know, in the Initiative, that's something we take to heart very, like, we take that very seriously. Like, if we're doing things well, we, you know, we're going to gloat a bit, but if we're doing things badly, we're not going to try and hide it. We'll admit to it. And a few weeks ago, we had XIX had just staged into COO6 in Wicked Creek, but they lost the iHub to Volta. Now, as they were losing the iHub, they asked Brave to rage form. So Brave and Voltron rage formed under Shattered Armor. And they came, they tried to get through the oh shit gate. The Init fleet slowed them down. I think the Init fleet lost two monitors and a handful of hacks, but in the most we got out. And the iHub died. Volta placed their own iHub, and you know, the good guys held the iHub basically. And instead of just owning up to the fact that they didn't, you know, set out what they meant to do, Shattered turns around and tells his fleet, "All right, guys, we were only forming the kill initiative. 100% success. Let's head back to GE now. No mention of the iHub." So that's the kind of shit that you're dealing with.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, I'll tell you. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mitz, real quick. That's the kind of that stuff will catch up to you. It absolutely catches up to you. If you're not truthful, and you make it a habit, at some point the guys are just going to stop listening because they know it's not true, and they can see it with their own eyes. You can't tell them to ignore what they see in front of them. Why on earth would Brave form randomly just come and kill two monitors and then go back? It doesn't make a lot of sense. They're counting on the fact that their line members are not smart enough to catch them in their lies. But I'll tell you this right now, FCs who shit on and think that their line members are too stupid to understand what's going on don't last very long. If you're flying and you're the FC, you want your line members to be smart. You teach them to be smart. Dark Shines has taught me more about EVE Online than almost anybody I know. And I'm telling you this, that's what good FCs do. Bad FCs keep their line members in the dark, feed them shit, and expect that they're just going to push buttons whenever they're told. That doesn't make a good EVE player. It doesn't make a good line member. Go ahead, Mitt.
One of the things about it is it comes down to accountability, right? And I think that's also a factor of scale. I've mentioned this before, but like, even if we wanted to do what ProGod does and just lie in a way that gets you caught, or if I wanted to do what the Brave Newbies leadership has been doing, which is lie to their people repeatedly about their situation and hide the fact that we're fucked from the Brave legacy leadership view of their situation in the war, we are accountable to our people because the eyes of the entire galaxy are on us all the time. Even if we wanted to get away with the bullshit that you see on the legacy side. And again, I talked about a fundamental culture of dishonesty that is ingrained all the way through Legacy Coalition from the very top to the very bottom, a fundamental culture of dishonesty. And one of the reasons why they can get away with that is that if you are in a pickup guild like Eternal Requiem or Requiem Eternal or Redazada Regnum, which just lost a corp like 30 minutes before the meta show, like one of these rando groups that are led by some nobody has ever heard of and will never even, I mean, I think I learned that the guy that runs Requiem Eternal is like Fight something or other. And I only found that out when we disbanded them, right? Like these guys are not on the radar, which means that they can get away with a whole bunch of really just awful, treat their line members like garbage, lie to them, don't turn up to defend their stuff, misappropriate funds, all of the things that we have seen through Legacy. It's reflected in that. One of the reasons why we have to be truthful. We have to be truthful. We can only spin, we can highlight the silver linings, but we can't just outright lie about stuff because it would become immediately disproven and obvious. So eat my ass if you are a projecting blue donut landlord wannabe while you're trying to hide your pie chart of shame with your proven convictions of being the biggest sources of botting in EVE compared to the Imperium, where we keep our noses clean. If you want to buy into that bullshit, you've made your choice. You've made your friends. You're happy where you are. So, great. Anyway, I want to hear from Bastion. I want to hear from Keisha about the things that Bastion has been up to.
I want to cue this up because I'll tell you, I got to give Keisha and the guys credit. They have been slowly but steadily extracting every bit of value that the legacy alliances have been pulling out of the TTT and other things over the last month and 2 months. They have killed so many structures. They have killed so many abandoned structures. They've gotten so much. It's absolutely nuts. Keisha, tell us about your most latest and greatest achievement, because I think everybody here is very proud of you for that Sodio kill. Go ahead.
So 7 months ago, when we first deployed to one of the stations in Stain, just shortly after we had moved in there, we had celebrated our first structure kill, which was, I think, a 3-bill Astra House in our previous station of HT4K. Skip ahead 7 months. We're now today celebrating a 482-bill win over test over an 8-hour period of our members fleeting up. So, I mean, our MO has been slow and steady. Just keep at it. You know, our guys, when they want actual PvP kind of content, you know, if they've had too much structure stuff, you know, they just skip over to Delve and boost their numbers there. But everyone's bought in. Everyone's helped out. Everyone's helped morally. Supportive financially. We've received help from our allies from Init and Goonswarm and other people as well with building and just bringing kind of everything together. It was a bit of a daunting task because I didn't really think that we would be where we are today and manage to pull off what we're pulling off. Someone made a comment about using supers and esoteria. I didn't think that would happen, but you know, we just keep putting the objectives and goals in front of us and keep dreaming about, you know, the next thing that we can do. And that's kind of where we are. That Sotillo and previous to the Sotillo and DTECF, the big win or objective there was the Tatara, because it was a memorial Tatara and they had defended that quite a bit. But for that specific Sotillo, we had shown up because there's a shield armor and final timer. I think we had shown gone through that 22 times. This was the fifth final. We got tired of being pushed off of it after the second final and it taking so long. So after the second Sotillo, I looked at ships that we could use, and that was the Leshak Doctrine. But I didn't know how we were going to fund it, afford it. And up until Test had three abandoned structures that paved the way for us to build the fleet to allow us the destruction of the I think it was four Tazars, a couple of Tataras, and the remaining large and exo structures minus the Keep Star. So that's attributed to Test, and I got to thank them or the corporations for leaving those structures abandoned for us, because those have been the pinnacle, I don't know, kind of like uplift that we needed in order to achieve what we've achieved today.
I think it's one of the things that, from my perspective, right, and part of the whole not like lying about things is that in basically throughout this war, every member alliance of the Imperium has had their opportunity to stand in front of the Pillar of Fire or in the Pillar of Fire. It happened to Init at first. It is Goonswarm's turn at the moment. We are regularly taking losses in Delve. Like, we are losing citadels that are not keep stars. We have a lot of success that we're happy about. But one of the things I was saying on the fireside today, before Paspy decided to feed us another fighter wing and try to interrupt the fireside with an M2 breakout. Incidentally, they are busy trying to interrupt this show with another M2 breakout attempt. I expect it will go about as effectively as the last one. I think this is just really funny because they've been trying to act like 130. It used to be 131, but we sold a silver ticket, so it's 130 Titans still trapped in M2. And they're trying to act like it's not a big deal, while now, twice in one day already, they're going after it because they totally don't care.
No, but Mittens, let me point that out. I have to laugh because yeah. I think that they honestly think that by disrupting the fireside and disrupting the show, that somehow that's going to lower our morale. What really increases our morale is every time they fail to do what they're trying to do. And when you decide to pick a time when most of the Imperium is watching a show or doing something together and in front of their computers and can easily log in and go fight, to that to make your breakout time because you think it's going to make a morale or propaganda victory, that's a bad idea, guys. But please,
Who's mad?
You go right ahead.
Who's mad? I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe we're gonna see. But I'm just looking over here at Mumble, and I'm seeing all of our dudes ready to rock the same way that they were ready to rock during the fireside. So, okay, I let's see. So many different ways that we could go in terms of dying on this. We were talking about Bastion. Oh, us getting kicked in the dick in Delve. So Goonswarm in the core Imperium that is holding Delve is obviously taking losses, right? Like, we have to defend our shit. We have to hold M2 down. It is a lot easier, speaking as like boss guy or whatever, when I don't have to convince are people to believe me, right? Like, it's always the concern when people constantly accuse you of spinning and lying and all this other pubby horse shit from these pathetic hypocrites projecting their blue donut, 103 blue alliances bullshit at us and our people. But it's a lot easier when Brave has sprung leaks. And so I don't have to try to convince people about the terrible financial situation Legacy is in or their terrible leadership morale. And similarly speaking, it's a lot easier for me to say, hey guys, we have uncored Satios. They are not building Titans. They are likely to get blown up. Defending them is not going to be easy. You should not count on it. Be ready in 1DQ1. It's a lot easier for me to talk to my guys about the reality of this war when every single day we get good news. Good news, care of Initiative, care of Bastion, compared to care of our regulars group, care of our Stainrus allies. Just constantly being able to be like, okay, well, we lost a thing here, but here is the butcher's bill of all the shit that got blown up today in Legacy's home territory. So I'm really glad that you guys are doing it, because if we didn't have independent offensive pressure, we would be in a much different place. You wouldn't be seeing these slopes, these cascades. Again, like I said, just before we went on the show here, Rezada Regnum lost another corporation. So the whole idea that you will be defended, you will be protected by Villy and Pro-God Legend is turning into one of the greatest punchlines in the history of EVE Online. And a lot of the credit for that goes to the two gentlemen. Obviously, there's a lot of credit and a lot of praise to go around, but man.
And just to highlight this fact, because I think it goes to what we were saying before about not lying to you guys and being honest, and we'll spin, but we're not going to flat out lie. Keisha, I want to go back to you were talking about the big Sodio, okay? How many times did you guys hit that again? Did you say 22 times?
I mean, it had to be 22, 20, 25 times, you know, where we got pushed off of some shield timers, armor timers. They're gunners. You know what? Tesh should pay us for having trade their gunners. Ketamine, Hathaway, Butterson, like they're spot on. Like, it's a training session. He's like, hey Ketamine, how's it going? He's just like, all right man, I'm gonna try something new today. And we're just like, fuck, right.
So based on what you saw, did they care about the Sodio? Were they actively defending it when you guys would come hit it? Were they forming fleets to fight you?
So, a lot of things had to play out. We needed our allies to be on board with the Sino jamming, and they were. We had to get, you know, 50 to 100 bubbles up, and you know, they saw this, you know, occurring. We needed to win our Tatara fight earlier and send their FCs back to T5Z. We needed to black out Esoteria again, which has we've never been able to black out. And what I'm regarding to is the jump bridges. We've never actually been able to kill the jump bridge in DTECP up until I think about three, four weeks ago with the helps of good Saxon friends. And so we killed the Tatar, we went to DTECP, reinforced the jump bridge, and they put new timers on it. So it actually helped us because they put it out to 10:30, just like 30 minutes before DET downtime. So that gave us the entire day through both CTOs without them being able to come in. Oh, and shout out to Wrathborn, the multi-boxer that they're claiming that he's whatever it is. Anyway, he's been
input broadcasting. Yeah.
So last 3 days, I think we've killed 18 jump bridges. Tatara died.
Yeah, 18. Well, yeah, at the same time. No, again, guys, I want you to keep in mind that while Bastion and friends, because it's a group effort involving a lot of people, are running through their backfield, torching jump bridges left and right. They've been doing that a lot in general. The pace has picked up, but this is all happening while Villy and Pro-God and the Brave leadership are busy lying to their members and got caught lying to their members.
And that's what I wanted to get.
Move them.
That's what
into
I wanted to get
our
to.
Space with no jump bridges. Well, I mean, I'm sure they have some jump bridges, but those are continuing to get blown up, which is probably making it difficult. And it's beautiful.
The lying part is what I want to get to, because it's frustrating to me when we get accused of this, when we are being fair and being honest, and the other guys lie through their teeth constantly and never get called on it because, oh, we're the toxic bad guys. But let me throw this out here. So you guys had to hit this Satoyo 22 times. You had to go through a whole mess of stuff in order to get to that last fight where you had a reasonable chance of winning. They were bringing fleets. They were fighting you guys. It was an active situation. They didn't just roll over and let you kill it like NCDOT did in Tribute when we classed four of their keep stars in one day.
No.
So what does Vili say when he's confronted with the fact that Test lost the second most expensive structure in the history of the game, the first time anybody lost a Tech 2 rig, stand-up construction rig, on a Sodio? What does he say? Oh, he says that Sodio has been effectively dead for several months.
I was
just writes it off. It had active Titans in build.
Oh shit! Brisk brought receipts.
It had active Titans in build, and he's gonna say it's been effectively dead for several months. Here's what you don't do with a dead structure: you don't fucking build in it. You don't put Titans in when you are scrounging the bottom of every single barrel to get Titan holes, because you still have not SRP'd all the holes you lost the last fight. You don't do that. So
it's still in the hole from M2 reimbursement, guys. They are still in the hole in terms of paying back Titans that were lost in M2. They haven't finished that back. I mean, I'm not sure it might have changed in the last few days or so, but not too long ago, we knew that it was a 20 Titan SRP hole. 20 Titans still un-SRP'd because, unsurprisingly, Test's war bonds failed to raise enough ISK to actually be able to cover their M2 Titan losses, because they are a poorly managed shit show run by hypocritical idiots like Vili and ProGod.
And I also have to throw in there, and there's a clip, I don't have it ready because I didn't really want to go into it, but I'll bring it up now because I think it's indicative of the mindset of these guys, because they hand wave away everything. Whenever it is inconvenient, they don't try to explain it. They don't try to spin it their way. They just hand wave it away, and then they say things that are foolish, like it was effectively dead months ago. On Trash Talk Tuesday, Dawn Rhea from Theta Squad was there, and she was chatting, and she was talking about how Brave was out of money. Vili screams at her that Brave is richer than the goons because Brave didn't have to do war bonds, and thus they're not in debt. And if you're in debt, obviously that means you're poor,
gosh,
not rich.
I'm so poor now. I feel so poor. I feel like I'm the poorest man in the fucking galaxy with our war bonds. Oh boy, the poverty is just crushing. I might just have to buy several thousand battleships and some more Titans about it. I don't know what I'm going to do with all this poverty. Maybe I'll just issue more war bonds about it to pay for the first group because I'm so fucking poor. What a little bitch.
If you actually believe
Vili, you...
That's the thing.
Are you kidding me?
The idea that having debt means you're broke or that you're poor.
This is why we have a finance team and you have 20 Titans that you haven't been able to pay your members back with because they were dumb enough to believe in your leadership. I feel, again, silver ticket plug time, guys. Vili, ProGod, and the leaders of PASPI might be a bunch of bot-friendly wannabe space landlords that are desperate to turn EVE Online into Serenity. See all those charts that you don't like that we were posting. The Imperium, i.e. the one blue block that supports the free people of EVE Online, is willing to purchase your trapped Titan in M2. We have already done this once. Our word is our bond, because unlike your leadership, you can trust the deals that the Imperium makes. Everyone has always been able to trust the deals that we make because we stick to our word. We will buy your trapped Titans. Get in touch with one of our diplomats. You can just hit show info. Also, any local goon or Imperium member anywhere will tell you about the silver ticket in any language. We are here to help you get free of the people that are not going to help you.
Let me leave it at this, and then we'll bring it back to Dark and Keisha, because I want to go into the next segment. Actually, I got to talk a little bit about Snuff first, and then we'll go to the next segment. If you think that war bonds or taking a loan out from your membership is something that you do when you're poor, walk down to the bank and ask them for $1 million loan and say, I don't have any money. I need a loan. Can I get $1 million? See what they say to you.
God.
That's silly. I mean, come on. Anyway, the next part of the backfield stuff I want to get into, and I'll just run through this real briefly because we don't have anything from Snuffed here. And I probably should have reached out to Higher Tower or one of the guys to see if they wanted to come on. The Ignoitin Keepstar, one of the two Keepstars of the Tranquility Trading Consortium, well known for the Perimeter Keepstar. This is their LOSEC Keepstar. It has been there for a while now. You have a number of groups like the Imperium, as well as Legacy, as well as PanFam, are all part of the TTT. They're all part of the TTC. And the reason for that is the way it works is it makes money when the big groups are not threatening to blow it up. As soon as somebody starts threatening to blow it up and they have the ability to do that, it causes all kinds of problems. It creates difficulties in proving to people that it's safe to use it, and folks start pulling their stuff out, and that reduces the income and that makes it less viable. So the pattern has always been anyone who is big enough to threaten the TTC becomes a part of it. And this happened in LoSec, snuffed out the biggest LoSec pirate group in the game right now, was being paid 25 billion ISK a month by Legacy, by Villy, I should say, not even by Legacy, but by Villy, who is the chairman of the TTC, to not blow up their Ignoiton Keepstar. That was the payment. They just literally paid it out a few days ago. I guess it's not a few days ago, but 20 days ago. Snuffed out comes back and says to Villy, who would have you think that he is the winning side leading the biggest war in the history of New Eden, the head of this group of guys who are totally destroying the mean, bad Imperium right now and winning this war, a small group of space pirates comes back and says, we're altering the deal. Pray we don't alter it any further. And ask for that 25 billion has to be raised to 75 billion. Or if you can't afford that because we know you have some money problems, you can give us some Titan hulls or some Aeons or some Dreads. You pick. And essentially says that to Villy's face. Now imagine if a pirate walks up to the King of England in the 1640s and says, by the way, you got to pay me more or I'm going to burn all your stuff down. That is the equivalent of what happened here. It's pretty significant. What we find out in the leaked logs, and the logs came from Villy himself, who put these out, I assume, as a proactive way to ensure that he didn't get egg on his face because Snuff decided to put it out to him, noted that the entire structure situation down there, the Ignoiton Keepstar was a cash loser for TTC. They were losing 40 billion ISK a month on that Keepstar. The only thing that was making money in the system was the Sotoyo that people were doing reactions in because it was like six jumps from Jita, and it's very easy to do your public stuff there. That was the only thing making money. And he asked, well, since we just paid you on the first of the month, that gives us a month to clear this thing out, right? Snuff said, I don't think so. So you have the biggest, baddest guy who claims that he's winning the war being pushed around by some low-sec pirates. This is actually happening. I mean, this is literally happening right now. It's amazing. And it's part of this whole situation, this whole scenario that's making life very hard for Test, very hard for Legacy. And my two friends here, Darkshines and Keisha, have been a huge part of that. So I want to get you, for this segment, if you guys have anything else you want to add about what you guys are doing in the backfield, that's great. If not, in the last 10 minutes of the show, I do want to get to the Pearson the Corporate Veil, because we do have a lot of meta changes, and I want to talk to these two FCs. So you guys have anything else on this?
Yeah, I guess I just want to point out that you've already said it earlier, but there's a huge amount of recognition needs to go into the teams. Like, I mean, I know I'm here talking, but I have a full FC team and an FC assist team, behind me and with me making all this stuff happen. It's a group effort, and those guys, you know, deserve all the recognition as well. And yeah, that's basically it for me.
Keisha?
Yeah, pretty much what Dark Science just said right there. I mean, there's some guys, there's like a core of five guys that are just, you know, without them, things just don't happen. And for the final thing on the Sotillo, just like to thank Initiative for planting a perfectly timed Fortizar and EX6 in order to take Test and Legacy off our backs. Thank you.
As a update, as we head into the next segment, I know it's going to come as a huge surprise to everybody, but passed and ran away, I guess, again, after their second attempt to break out of M2 in just the space of 2 hours. Hey, maybe if you guys want to try to go back to your line about how M2 was a big strategic mistake and how goons are doing some sort of weird smuggling thing to try to mask a hidden failure cascade or whatever bedtime stories
we're creating 5,000
hypocritical cowards have to tell yourselves, Well, congratulations for fucking up again. Eat my ass. Let's go to the next segment. Let's pierce the corporate veil, or here whatever we go. The hell we're doing next.
We're going
to
do it. Let's do it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the first piercing in corporate veil, and it does not look like we're going to get to our Pearl Abyss stuff. We'll hit those next week.
We've got a lot of stuff.
We'll go through with this, and we may run a little bit over because I do want to get the opinions of these guys. So we had two major announcements. One of them was made in a dev blog, and then there was an interview. CCP Rise, CCP Signal joined Pando and Mandalorian on Pando's FC chat to go over all of the information that they were that was put out. And essentially, we're seeing fleet formations. It's a new thing. It's going to basically allow different ways for FCs to move fleets on grid in different formations, whether they are custom formations or they are preset formations like a square or a circle or a V formation, those types of things. And the way that it was described, it's pretty interesting. Essentially, it's a 200 kilometer grid that you can play with. That they're going to have it on CC on Monday for folks to test. And it's going to basically allow for a lot of new things, such as warping a fleet that is pre-set up in terms of anchored and having your logi in the right place and having ping spots ready to go with interceptors, those types of things. It's going to create a lot of new changes. And I wanted to talk to Darkshines and Keisha about it. Have you guys, I talked to you both before the show, you both have given us an idea that you've looked into this. I want to talk, Shines, what do you think is going to be the immediate impact of this? And do you see this becoming a major thing that you're going to deal with once it comes out?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that's going to happen is everyone's going to be kind of scratching their heads a bit because it's going to be so chaotic. The fleet formations have the ability, from what I understand of them at least, they have the ability to be super powerful, but they also have the ability to completely fuck you over if you don't do it right. So I think we're going to see a lot of cool plays, and I think we're going to see a lot of people making silly mistakes, and you know that always leads to stuff getting blown up, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Keisha, what's your take on the fleet formations, and how long do you think it's going to take folks to start putting them into play?
When I first saw the trailer, I was like, fuck. I mean, I wasn't really too excited about it because you know, you play for 15 plus years, you kind of get a little more exhausted. The older you get, and the more RL strengths you have, it just takes more out of you to be able to be on the ball with things. But I think it's kind of neat. There's some defensive formations that can be used for like the Citadels and such. The Relative, the Sphere will probably be used mostly. I think the entrance to like how you get into like a system might change a little bit because you'll want that proactive warp with the Sphere in order to evade bubbles. But I think once you get onto the grid, the 200K span of just being able to warp your fleet wherever changes the entire dynamic of thinking that you're safe at a range. As Dark Sunshine, it's gonna be chaotic, especially for those that are gonna be right on top of it.
And just for the record, there's a development term. The acronym of it is TTP, and essentially what it stands for is time to penis, and that is the idea that in any game where there is customization by players, there is the amount of time it will take for a player to use that new tool to draw a penis. I expect that the TTP on this fleet formation will be about 10 seconds. I expect somebody is already going to have the bookmarks ready in a penis formation, ready to go, so the first time they can do it, they're going to warp their fleet like that. I would assume that
we
you guys would agree with
me, right?
We need a butt
formation, and we need a dong formation, right?
Exactly. Like, we need a fish formation. Pando has an init logo formation. We definitely need that. We're going to need a dick butt formation. I mean, we're going to have all of these formations ready to go. even if this doesn't turn into a crazy tactical choice, it's still going to have there's going to be a lot of fun with it. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, the other thing that was announced, we had a number of balance changes that were announced alongside fleet formations. Many of these were to PvE ships, the Marauder class in particular. There were some interdictor changes. Some interdictor changes that caused a spike in one of them, and people started accusing the CSM of leaks. Obviously, that's not true, but it's funny to think that somebody would buy up all the flycatchers in Jita, which didn't happen. And then In addition, we saw today they have continued to make some changes based on feedback, and that included some significant changes to the hack meta, which is obviously by now arguably the most dominant meta in NullSec in the current war, in NullSec period. If you're in NullSec, you have flown a hack in the last year. I guarantee it. There's no way around it. You've flown a Munin. You've flown some. You've probably flown a Serb. You may have flown an Eagle. You may have, if you're with us, you've flown Ishtars. You've flown Zealots. If you're with Goons, you've probably flown a Sacrilege. There are all kinds of hacks out there. Heavy armored, heavy assault cruisers. They're all over the place. The two major changes. First of all, they are nerfing both the assault damage control and both of the resist bonus, which was 30%, they are dropping it from 40% to 30%. And on the Tech 1, they're dropping it from 30% to 25%, which is pretty significant. And in addition, they're also reducing the duration by 25%. And then, in addition to those changes, the bonus to the Micro Warp Drive signature reduction radius penalty was removed from all hacks, which means that their SIGs are going to be much larger, which means that other types of ships like battleships and the like are going to be able to track them better. I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about these changes? Do you think that they're going to have a significant impact on the hack meta? What's your take? Let's go to, we went to Shines first last time. Let's go to Keisha. What do you think about these hack changes?
I mean, like I kind of said before the show, I didn't really understand the 25% duration reduction because, I mean, if it's Munin vs Munin, you're already cycling within the 10 seconds that it gets dropped down to or whatever. So it doesn't really make sense, but maybe they're trying to force fleets to stay on targets for longer. The bonus to the NWD change, I mean, that's going to be the most significant due to application and whatnot. The one that I was really excited about that I know it's not really fleet-based was actually the Bastion module duration change to 30 seconds. People say that, you know, the Bastion module within Mirages and stuff, it's not really something that you do fleet-based. It's more small gang type PvP, but I'm kind of interested to play with that and see whether or not you can have like a designated group that can come in at range or come in for 30 seconds, put a high damage pressure onto a target or something like that, because the 90 seconds is obviously a lot more time, but... Yeah. I mean, those probably the most prominent ones, the MWD.
Chaz, what did you think about the hack changes?
I like the MWD change. I think that it means that things like battleships are going to hit hacks easier, obviously, and that's always good. The assault damage control reduction, I mean, they're nerfing the ADC, so that's cool, but it doesn't, it looks more like a grand gesture than an effective change, if that makes sense.
Why would you say that?
From my side of things, when I'm FCing Munins against another Munin fleet, if a Munin ADCs, that means it's caught. All right, you don't let your guns cycle two or three or four times on the same Munin to wait until his ADC breaks so you can kill him. You move on to the next Munin, and then four or five Munins later, you come back to the first one and kill him. So a 25% reduction in the duration, it just doesn't, it's not life-changing in the hack meta, but I think it might affect, I think Brisk, you were saying smaller gang PvP, it's going to affect it there. I don't do much small gang PvP, and I don't do it in assault frigates, so I can't really speak to that. But it seems like it's a change, it's a nerf, but it seems more like a gesture that yes, we're looking at hacks than, you know, anything else. Like we're not going to see Munin fleets suddenly use a T2 damage control instead of an ADC.
So my take on this as a CSM member, and I'll go through. I mean, I got a little bit of heat from our guys internally because Shines had said earlier in the week that there were some hack changes planned, and these were the changes that the CSM didn't like, so they were going to push them off, but then he changed his mind. Since he talked about it, I can talk about it. And I'm not a fan of these hack. I'm not a fan of the ADC changes because I don't think – at least in my opinion, and you guys are, I'm sure the chat will disagree, and you guys are willing to tell me if I'm wrong. For me, The ADC is not the issue with Hex. It is a powerful mod. It's very OP. It is. But the Hack meta, as I've always flown in it, and I've been flying in it for a while with Shines, with others, it's an alpha doctrine. It's about numbers. It's about speed. It's about being able to decide. I mean, essentially, if you are there, you can pick whether you want to engage. You can pick the range. You can select your range. You can move out and in and out of range and move around the grid very quickly because they are super fast. I think the SIG radius thing helps. At the same time, in my experience, whenever we take battleships up against of these Hacks, we always have target painters on the Huggins and the other ships, the support ships that are there, that are there to clear light tackle. We always have those. So I don't know how much I don't know if that's going to be a massive change. It probably will help, but the ADC thing, what I wanted to see, what I had proposed, and this is why I think there was a little bit of a debate, because I don't think I felt like the ADC changes were an easy dial change, but it didn't really change anything. It wasn't going to reduce the numbers of Hacks that we're seeing. And my biggest issue with the Hack meta is not that it's overpowered or there's no counters, because there's obvious counters. You just bring another. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why. There. No, not that you're boring, but that the Hack meta is boring.
Well, I'm boring too. But yes, that's it. It's boring. It's the same thing. A Munin fleet fights a Munin fleet. Maybe a Zealot fleet will fight a Munin fleet once in a while, but it's rare. Maybe Ishtars will fight one. But in the end, it's Munins or Eagles or Serbs. You pick which one you want that day. And that's basically it. I wanted to see more battleships. I want to see more Macarials. I want to see more Baltic fleets. I want to see more. I just like to get back to Alpha fleets. Like, give me some old school battleship fighting. And I felt like if you buff battleships, you give them a little bit of a speed bonus. You make them warp a little bit faster. And whatever you want to do to balance them out so that they don't become super overpowered, I would rather buff battleships than nerf Hacks again. And at
they
the
added
very
the
least,
fucking
give us something else to fly.
Right? Like, they started making battleships cool, right? And it reminds me of that era in EVE. Time is a blur, right? After 15 fucking years, as Keisha was pointing out. But there have been eras in EVE where every Nullsec battle came down to T3 cruisers fighting, right? Like, several years ago, it was always Lokis versus Tengus, or, you know, some sort of equivalent of that, of just cycling through the T3 meta. And we were stuck there for like 3 years. And that's kind of how I feel it is with the Hack stuff, where I mean, I'm old school. I love battleships. I think that when they added the frigate escape bay, I got all hot and bothered because I was excited about the idea of having a sort of a attrition compliant doctrine where as you lose battleships, they then go into frigates and you can do unique, interesting things with that. But in the current setup, there are very few scenarios except for stationary citadel defense, which is useful, right? But it's not like we're seeing what I really enjoyed about Hell Wars in the past, which is, you know, line battleship fleet action and just like big explosions and big guns and that kind of stuff. So right. I hope this is a step in the right direction. I would love to see more BS battles and less Hack slap fights.
That's it. So my what I suggested was increase the speed on the battleships, give them defender launchers so that they're not as bombable, and there you go, and see how that works. But obviously, the choice was to go with the ADC thing. That's fine. I will say this. ADC and my Nurgle, my assault frigate, is what saved my ass when I got killed in my Macarial the other day and was trying to get out with all of my implants, not without having to pull them. So I'm worried that this ADC change is going to have unintended consequences for small gang stuff and for assault frigate fleets. I know there aren't that many people that run armor assault frigates. I know Karma Fleet likes to do it as fun. I get out my Nurgle all the time with those guys, and I enjoy it. But we'll see. Well, I think we'll see down the road how it goes.
One thing, actually, one of our guys, Norman, he just pointed out that the ADC gives you less room for error if you're ADCing from an incoming bomb run. Now, again, in Munins, it doesn't matter because most of the time you're going to outrun a bomb run before it lands. But for slower doctrines, if you ADC as soon as the bombs are launched, the later waves or the slower bombs will hit you after the ADC finishes. So I know it's only 2 seconds, but that's probably the biggest, as Norman pointed out, that'd be the biggest downside to it.
All right. Well, we are way over time here, and I want to thank you guys all for joining. I definitely want to thank Dark Shines and Keisha for joining us, because
absolutely.
having you guys here both as Alliance senior Alliance folks that are out there on the front lines and taking the fight to Pappy behind the lines is great. And then having you here for as FCs, we can have a little bit of a talk about the meta. This is the meta show. We like to talk about meta. So let's talk about it. And I appreciate having that, the ability to do that. Final words from either of you. Darkshines, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we get off the show?
Brave, stay classy.
A little late for that for them, but very good. Hope springs eternal.
Keisha, how about you?
Tess, keep dropping your jump bridges, please.
There you go. Boss, you have any final things to say?
No, we've got a lot of interesting things that Brisk and the crew put together for next week, involving MER, piercing the corporate veil. So tune in next week. And as far as PASPI is concerned, they can eat my ass. I appreciate the fact that you guys have managed to fail two M2 breakouts in just the last 2 hours. So yeah, high fives all around, boys and girls. This was a fun show. We'll do it again next week. Thank you to Darkshines and Keisha for joining us today, and thank you even more for you and all of your crew who are involved and deserve credit for the group efforts of purging Legacy's little landlord empire that they want to have back there. So thank you guys. That's it for me.
All right, Darkshines, Keisha, thank you guys for joining us. Mitani, I'm Bruce Rebol signing off. Thank you guys again. I can't say pine cones to Linda S because I got to say extinct as pine cones. But anyway, stay classy, New Eden. And I just want to say a shout out. Thank you, Mrs. Brist, for putting up with me again. This outro is for you.